That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, get to 95BFM.com.
Not all of those sleeping rough on the streets, but certainly sleeping on people's couches, you know, just two, three families in the one house, sharing the space and living in overcrowded, cramped conditions. So absolutely it's an issue. We haven't kept up with the growing demands of a burgeoning population. And also there is land banking going on in Auckland with people buying up houses and just sitting on them empty because it's easier to maintain them empty and keep them for a couple of years and then flip them on when the price has gone up. So I think there are a number of issues, and I don't think we can point to any one issue and say this is the reason why we have homelessness, though I think there are a couple of simple, easy fixes that could make a great big dent in homelessness that the government can do and have not done widely across the nation. Where they have done it, it's starting to work and ease the pressure of homelessness. And that is that the bureaucracy of Housing New Zealand and WINS need to have joined up long ago. The disconnection between the two has meant that waiting lists are not being accurately reported. Houses are not being filled with the right people. You've got people sitting on waiting lists waiting for a one and two bedroom home when there are only three bedroom homes available. Now, the policy used to be that if there is a three bedroom home, it has to be given to a family that would fit a three bedroom. If it's a single person or one person and one child, then they don't get those homes. So in a couple of places around the country, those homes stood vacant while they had wait lists of up to 80 people. So the bureaucracy could be fixed overnight, and we could get people into houses. And if you remember what Uri Moana said at Te Puia, getting people into houses wasn't the hard part. Actually treat them with a little bit of dignity and respect, find the house, get them in, but it's the underlying causes of why they were homeless in the first place, bad decision-making around prioritisation of income and so on, which led to that point. Now, yes, there is the strain on incomes versus rent, and there are a number of other things that need to happen as well, but that is one thing that could happen immediately that could alleviate some of this problem.
And the government has said they're building up all this, all these thousands of social housing blocks, and that they're addressing it in this way. But I mean, this you've obviously got your own figures, and this university study claims that 40,000 people that were classed as homeless were in New Zealand. But I mean,
the government, those figures were just for Auckland, the 24 that I mentioned.
Right.
Couple of weeks ago said that's Auckland's number.
But Social Housing Minister Amy Adams has said the number is closer to 4,000 across the country. So, I mean, it seems like the government is on a completely different page, which might suggest why they're taking a different approach.
That's because they classify homelessness in a different way. Obviously, they do this all the time. And so they say if you're in a house, then you're no longer in need of emergency accommodation or homeless. So I took in a homeless person last year. She stayed with me for 10 weeks. She had a son. Her and her son couldn't find accommodation, rang me up. Nowhere in the entire Wellington, Porirua, Upper Hutt area was there any emergency accommodation available. She was sitting in the WINS office. They're basically sitting there telling her, sorry, you're going to have to sleep in your car tonight. Literally, that's what they were saying to her. So she rang me. I said, oh, look, just go to my place. She ended up staying there for 10 weeks, despite the housing minister at the time saying that it takes 7 days to house somebody who's in emergency accommodation need. But the dumb thing is, as soon as I provided her a place to sleep, she no longer stayed on the emergency accommodation list as needing help, because she had help. She'd got it from me. And so this is how they get to deflate the numbers. So if you're a family living with another family, you're no longer in need of emergency accommodation because you have accommodation, despite the fact that you're overcrowded and so on and so on and so on. So those classifications of who's homeless and who's not homeless, they sort of, I think, are taking the number of who's sleeping rough on the street versus who's in a hotel, who's on a couch, who's sleeping in somebody else's home. and putting strain on that relationship. Now, that's just one of the things they could do. The other thing is after the earthquake in Christchurch, they assessed every government building in the country, every state home, for to make sure that they were up to standard according to the earthquake Rowdy Raz, and shut down a whole lot of homes, then pulled them down. But then those sections stayed vacant for ages. In Marainui, for example, they built 8 houses after they pulled down 130, and that's the only 8 they've built to date. Now they've got plans in place after us pushing them along with the community to build more, but they're taking their sweet time about it. There's 130 vacant sections in Marainui, and one of the worst areas by population per capita for homelessness in the country. And who would have thought that Napier and Hastings would have had a homeless problem, but they do. In Gisborne, we got them to change their priority placement from, you know, a three-bedroom home must have a family in it, to say, well, if you've got no single-bedroom dwellings or double-bedroom dwellings available, then put these people in the houses that are standing empty. And so that happened, and now we've alleviated the burden of homelessness in Gisborne, but it needs to happen throughout the country. And so those are two basic things that could happen right now.
So you're saying National is first of all deflating the numbers and also not addressing the problem by not building up social housing where there are these empty lots. But I mean, this is, you know, you're in government with them, and if we look at the homelessness inquiry last year that you were a part of, do you think that has made any impact on the government's direction?
Well, it has, because there are a number of things that we wanted them to do that they're now starting to do, that is the bureaucracy thing that I was talking about. They're now talking more closely with one another. Look, we voted to sell state houses, not to nowhere, so I'm sick of that rhetoric from the opposition, to social housing providers. And so this doesn't deflate the numbers. This doesn't reduce the numbers of housing availability. It puts it in the hands of people who are more equipped to deal with the whānau that are in those homes, because Housing New Zealand, quite frankly, we're terrible landlords, absolutely horrible landlords. The amount of times we've had to step in and advocate for people who've been tossed out of their homes for no freaking good reason has been ridiculous. So when we voted to put 3% of the current state housing stock into social housing provision, that's because they do a far freaking better job. So this is not selling off to nowhere. This is not pulling houses down, and this is not selling houses into private ownership. This is into a social housing provision. And we want more social housing providers up and offering homes, because they do a better job. They look after the people that are in them, not just provide a roof over their head, but they deal with the social needs that are needed as well. We need to get houses up. We need to be innovative with the solutions. We want single-bedroom studio bedsits for men who actually, that's all they want.
That was Marama Fox for the Māori Party.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.